show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better podcast.
We're gonna give it to
them.
This is Talk Sports. John Reed, Cody
McClure.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, no Cody McClure, just Cam Black. The thing we talked about yesterday happened today, where we got the updates right before the show that Cody is not here. But either way, another flat tire, or he said he got it fixed yesterday, and then it was flat again. So he's taking care of business today, so it'll just be me and Cam as we talk sports and other things for the next 3 hours. Cam, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. Glad it's not raining as much today.
Now, today's nice. Today's kind of perfect weather for me. You can wear the long sleeves. You feel good. It's not hot. It's a solid day.
Yeah. Looking forward to be able to, like, sit back out on my balcony a little bit today. Yesterday sucked for that. It's not cool, you know, being cooped up inside the house all the time. Gotta get a little fresh air every once in a while.
Grab some fresh air. I went for a late night stroll to get some air. I also watched a really depressing movie last night. Like, one of the most depressing movies I've ever seen.
What movie?
A Ghost Story. One of the most depressing movies I'd ever seen. I watched it last night, and then after it was over, it was one of those where I was like, you know what? I just need to walk around and contemplate life for a little bit. Like, I need to try to figure some things out.
Huh, that's out of a movie.
It was just depressing. This guy, what happens in it, this guy, you know, it starts with him and his wife, ends up he dies pretty early in the movie, and then the rest of the movie he is just this ghost. And he's like, it's kind of funny the way they do it. They make him a ghost. Like the kids, where, like, you know, you just put a sheet over you.
Just a sheet over
him?
So he's
just constantly standing there with a sheet over him. You can't see his face, can't see his eyes, and he just he's stuck. And he has to go back to the house that he was in, like, with his wife. So at the beginning, he's there watching her, and, you know, time keeps lapsing because, I mean, I think that's kind of the point of, like, you know, purgatory or being stuck, whatever. Like, time just becomes non-existent. Like,
yep.
He'll be doing one task, and next thing you know, like 4 months have passed. As he's just trying to do a simple thing. So he has to watch, like, his wife continue her life.
Oh, man, that is sad.
And, like, at first, like, she's devastated. You know, her husband just died. But then after that, it's like she's moving on. She brings a man back to there, and he's just kind of stuck in the house with the man there.
Oh, man, yeah, that would be rough.
Yeah, and then, like, eventually she moves out, and then, like, he still can't leave the house, though. So then, like, a new family moves in, like, and he's just stuck in this one place the entire time. And it's, like, really depressing, and I'm just like, wow. This is pretty heavy for a, Tuesday night watch.
Did he at least find peace at the end?
No, he did not. Spoiler alert, no peace. And then at the end, I'm just like, oh.
He's just still in the house. Okay, yeah, I'll make sure I do not watch that on a casual night.
No, don't watch it. And for, you know, it's an hour and a half movie, and there's probably, I would set the over-under of, like, 50, one guy had a pretty long monologue at one point. I would say there was an over-under of, like, 100 words said throughout the entire movie.
Oh, man. So you just see this guy walk around as a sheet the entire time.
If you remove the one monologue that this one guy has, there's probably, like, 60 words in the whole movie. But he probably actually said, like, 400 words himself. He went on, like, a five-minute monologue about how life is meaningless, basically. And I was like, yeah. He's really right on the nose here from what you're telling me. So, yeah, I had to go on a walk afterwards last night. Just kind of, it was late. It was creepy. Apparently, my road doesn't really have any street lights on it. So I was just, like, walking in the dark and was hoping that maybe I'd find my cat or find the purpose of life. And I found neither. Ooh. So then I went back home around midnight and watched the Scheme. That was the Kristen Dawkins documentary on HBO. I didn't see many people talking about this. LSU did just put out a statement.
Ooh.
LSU Athletic Director Scott Woodward says, "We are aware of the documentary first aired on March 31st on HBO. There is no change to Coach Will Wade's employment status at LSU, and we will continue to cooperate with all reviews into this matter." So basically, like, yeah, we saw it. Yeah, it looked worse than, like, we were led to believe, but still not doing anything. Will Wade, you know, the quote about Will Wade in the movie yesterday in the documentary was, "Will Wade's a bleeping gangster." Christian Dawkins and the boys had a lot of respect for Will Wade. They was basically like, yeah, I mean, he's caught red dead. He doesn't care. He's just going to keep riding through it. Like, he don't care. He's just going to say, do something about it. Will Wade is a gangster.
Yeah, he did just keep it moving. He's like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. Yeah. All right, let's keep coaching.
They told him what they found, and he was just like, okay, and? You finished, or are you still in your feelings, is what he asked. You done?
Yeah.
Are you still going to be sad about it and try to make a big deal about it? Can I go back to coaching? Okay, see you guys.
So, man, yeah, I guess not really much else we can come out then. It's really going to, I guess, make LSU want to change their stance.
No, I mean, like, the you know, it wasn't – Will Wade wasn't a big focus of the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
He was towards the end. It was really just about Christian Dawkins and his, I guess, metamorphosis from kind of goofy kid with a really good younger brother at basketball. Yeah, that was part of the documentary. He died at like age 14 whenever he was apparently going to be one of the better prospects in college basketball. But then Christian Dawkins just kind of became a handler, and it kind of just went into that, the prospect of that. Some of the footage there was funny where like him and another guy were just laughing about, they're like, just tell him we're going to get him Zion. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, he's just like, we're not going to be able to get Zion. He's like, yeah. He's like, I know, but the coaches, like, they don't know that. Like, just tell them that. Like, you go in there, you get your $5,000, and just keep it. Like, Christian Dawkins came across. And,
oh,
you know,
so they're scheming, really? Huh?
Well, Christian Dawkins was trying to help his boy out. Like, he had another guy, and, like, he was telling the guy, like, yeah, just go in there and just tell him you're going to try to get him Zion. And the guy's like, I can't get him Zion. He's like, yeah, I know, but it doesn't matter. What are they going to do? Nothing. Just take the $5,000. Like,
because you can't report them.
Yeah, what are they going to do, call the cops? It's kind of like when a drug dealer screws you over or you screw over a drug dealer. What are they going to do? Yeah. I mean, I guess they could kill you, but, like, in this respect, like, you know, Rick Pitino's not going to have somebody. Yeah. Well, yeah, I take that back. Rick Pitino might put a hit out on somebody or bite them in the neck because he looks like a vampire.
If anybody was going to.
But essentially, it was just like, yeah, you know, you take the $5,000. He was trying to put his boys on. Chris Dawkins, I thought, at least from this documentary came out, and, you know, almost as a sympathetic figure, like, the NCAA, he was just like, you know, they're a joke. They gave me 2 years, really, you know, really 2 years and 6 months, whereas all these other guys who were done way worse got way less. And basically they made an example on me because I did not bend the knee to the NCAA or the FBI. Basically it was just like, no, what I'm doing is not wrong. There's no rule. His stance was, it is not illegal for me to break NCAA rules. I am not in the NCAA. Like, this is not a court rule. This is not the law of the land. Me giving someone money to handle them is no different than if I was, doing something else. He had some type of references. Like, I didn't break any laws. What they got him on was fraud in the sense of he cost, I guess, the players their academic scholarships. So he, like, defrauded the schools by giving them an option. Mm-hmm. It was some real manipulation of the law to even get him in trouble.
Yeah, they had to stretch the rule a little bit to make him fit inside. Yeah, because he technically has a point, yeah.
He's like, I didn't break any laws. Like, what, is the fact that I'm going to prison is a joke. Like, for what? Like, helping players get money? Like, that's not illegal?
That's fair.
And then you had someone at the end, basically some guy was on there talking about, like, you know, really just made it it's the most common thing, you know, whenever I have had the arguments with people in the past about college players getting paid, it's just the easiest argument, and no one really has an answer to it of, like, hey, you know, if you are really good to the point where Google wanted to hire you at the age of 19 and give you a bunch of money for your services, like, everyone would praise that and be like, wow, look at this genius. He's getting to go work for Google. At the same point, if Google was like, hey, we're going to use you and help, you're going to help us make a lot of money, but we're just giving you an unpaid internship, everyone would be like, well, that's messed up. Google shouldn't be allowed to do that. Yet, you know, with the college athletes, that's what we do. But LSU is saying, nah, nothing's changed. We know Will Wade's a gangster. Like, what are you guys going to do? NCAA ain't going to do nothing.
Yeah, I guess they're going to keep backing their boy. And, yeah.
So that was my night yesterday. I watched a couple episodes of Better Call Saul. Got caught up on it. Watched a really depressing movie. Went on a really scary walk where I was just picturing ghosts standing there looking at me. And then I watched the Scheme, which, like I said, the Scheme, I don't know if it lived up to the hype of what it was going to do to Will Wade. Although I guess hearing the call, you know, now there's no denying what you said, Will Wade, because he had tried that before at the spring meetings, which, by the way, got canceled yesterday.
Yep.
He had tried that, saying, hey, you haven't heard the tape. I don't know what I said. Well, now we all know, and now it's out there. But LSU today says, like, they're not even like, hey, we're looking into it. We're basically just like, no, we're good. You guys do what you got to do.
Well, was kind of hoping for more coming from that, so I want some drama.
Do you think Will Wade admitted that to LSU? Like, whenever he got suspended? Because do you think he admitted, like, yeah, I'm on tape saying this? Because you would think, like, you know, you look at the whole Tennessee firing Bruce Pearl for lying type of thing. Like, was Will Wade honest, or does LSU just really not care?
I feel like he was straight up just like, hey, yeah, I did this. What are they going to do about it? And the LSU was like, well, you're right. Yeah, stick around. We'll just suspend you for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I think he probably did learn from the Bruce Pearl thing, too, and was like, well.
Just not going to lie.
Yeah.
Let's see what you got. LSU saying, we're going to ride with Will Wade. Let's see what you do, NCAA. We'll see if the NCAA does anything. All right, we're off and running on Talk Sports. We had a big cancellation today. No real surprise, though, as sports leagues are trying to figure out what to do amid the times. We won't overwhelm you with corona covers today, but I guess it is the top story. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Picking up a six.
Well, Cam, how do you feel now that we're finally out of the month of March?
Just hoping for a better month, I guess. I don't really know where, knock on wood, this month can go from here. But March did feel like it was taking forever. I don't know what it was, but that the last couple weeks there drug on forever. So, yeah, hopefully new month, new vibes. Hopefully we get some changes a little bit and stuff starts getting better.
Hopefully March is better. I don't know if it will, or hopefully April is better, I guess I should say. If you had to bet right now, when you add in what happened in the state with the tornadoes, like it would be hard for it to be worse, right? You'd have to get a little bit better here, at least in Tennessee, because Tennessee had, you know, a really, really bad month of March.
Yeah, it would be hard to top that, and it should be one of those things where the only way to go is up from here, and hopefully it gets better. Fingers crossed, I guess. I'm not sure how much more else the state or country can take at this point.
I haven't seen any big April Fool's jokes today, right?
I haven't either. I think people are...
Hold on. Before you go, I just realized Cody missed April Fool's last year, too.
Did he really?
Because I told everybody that he was fired last year.
Oh.
That was my April Fool's joke to people.
Wow.
I should have said Cody had the corona. That's what I should have said.
Yeah.
I should have said that today instead of a flat tire. I should have said Cody has the rona. Huh.
He missed last year
because I said Cody was no longer with us and everyone was freaking out last year.
Maybe he's going to show up later and we don't know it.
Is there just something about April Fool's that he has to take the day off? Like, is he afraid to get pranked, or does he just go out and do some pranking for someone else? Or is this his April Fool's joke to me?
I feel like he's afraid of getting pranked.
I think he's
held up in his apartment right now, frightened of the possibility of being pranked.
I haven't seen anything yet, right, in terms of April Fool's jokes?
No, I think everybody's kind of keeping it low-key today.
Today's not the day to joke around?
Yeah, it's been a serious couple months. I think people are like, we don't really need all these wild pranks going around. I'm sure you'll get some like YouTubers or something that post some stuff that
makes you irrationally
mad about how dumb their stuff is. But
yeah,
yeah, I don't think anybody like here. There's been nothing happened here yet. So
okay, well, everyone, stay on your toes. It is April Fool's, but maybe everyone is just kind of, it's kind of like St. Patrick's Day. I didn't get pinched at all on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, I don't want to mess with you today. I don't want to get within 6 feet, but also, like, we got a lot of stuff going on. Now's not the time to be pinching people.
Exactly. I think the nation's coming together to realize this is not the time to celebrate April Fool's Day. We'll see, though. Day's still young.
So we had another cancellation. No surprise. It was, you know, kind of breaking news on Monday, but Wimbledon went ahead and said, hey, we're not playing this year. No pushback. We're just canceling for the first time since World War II. I maintain I'm really confused by this as to why they would do this. Tennis, to me, makes the most sense to play. And it's not even like, I mean, has England been hit hard with the Rona? Oh. They're not one of the countries I think of in terms of being ransacked by. Like, if you were playing in France or Italy or Spain, like if it was over in Italy or something, I would understand, like, hey, no need for sports. But I guess the UK,
I mean,
have they been hit as hard as everyone else, I guess?
I haven't seen numbers, but I remember, like, they closed McDonald's there and, like, things like that.
Yeah, they haven't had it easy. So far, 29,000 cases and 2,300 deaths. So they might be hitting the point where it's getting ready to get bad because they've had 563 deaths today. So maybe they'll hit that point. Maybe they're on the same trajectory as everyone else.
I know. I just remember, like, yeah, McDonald's closed over there, things like that, and we haven't hit that point. So I'm assuming it's not easy for them over there. But I agree. Yeah, tennis, you're pretty separate for as far as sports go.
So I guess England is now getting hit hard by it, and apparently some of their test kits delivered today were contaminated by the coronavirus. So, like, there is a
Jeez.
Like, that's what's tough is everyone's like now start sharing these kits, and you know, China sending stuff over, and we're like, nah, I'm not sure if I want to use that. Because I mean, the U.S. Bloomberg I saw tweeted it out first. I don't know if they were the ones that broke it or what. They have reported that, hey guys, guess what? Breaking news: China was lying. China was lying about everything. They hadn't been on the up and up in terms of their cases or deaths.
Yep.
Which, obvious to everyone?
I think everybody knew, but I think the fact that they like put out the articles and stuff now makes it official, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it there's, you know, I don't know what the repercussions will be. Probably nothing, because China and all.
I mean, yeah, what can we do?
Yeah, what do you do? Just like start a war?
Bad China,
That doesn't seem like the proper answer. But, I mean, I do feel like the rest of the world should look and say, hey, like, we kind of thought you had this under control, so it wasn't as bad as it actually might be, because the figures yesterday coming from the White House, they were not really backing down from that 100,000 to 200,000 death range. And that was in part a result over people thinking, well, China slowed it down. China's done a really good job. And, you know, that's just a false sense of security. So maybe it makes sense in that lens, especially if it continues to get worse in England.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of surprised that they're full out just canceling stuff. It's like that far out. Like, I thought they'd at least, like, consider, you know, start with postponing.
Well, it'd be hard to postpone with Wimbledon because the rest of the tennis schedule plays off of, you know, their target dates. And it's not like you could postpone it till next year, like the Olympics, because you have the 2021 Wimbledon. So, you know, they don't have the same luxury as the NBA, who's like, hey, we got, you know, 3 months basically we can work with, which the latest update there is that it will be mid-June at the earliest when they can get back. So they've started trying to make some contingency plans on salary and just looking at dates. They have a little bit more flexibility than a tennis tournament where, you know, you can't push back Wimbledon to the weekend of the of the French Open, because if the French Open was to play, like, it makes it a little bit tougher. But I just looked and saw tennis, like, you know, 1v1, you are 6 feet away.
Yeah.
But maybe it doesn't look good. Maybe it doesn't look good to have sports going on. And that's, you know, that's another, like, philosophical question that sports leagues are going to have to answer. Mm-hmm. Is, like, if you have these guys playing sports and taking medical personnel away and taking resources away, is that okay? Now, some people would say, yeah, we need entertainment. Like, I think Wimbledon, if they would have played, would have had pretty big ratings just because, I mean, people are watching the eSport NASCAR League. Like, I like watching the Grand Slams already, but I would imagine just any sports fan, anybody that likes to gamble, anybody that likes any type of competitive competition would have found themselves giving tennis a chance. But, again, it comes down to a decision of, do you want to take those resources away because you still probably have to have – I don't know if you have to have cops and security there. I don't know if you would have to have that if there's no fans. But you would at least have to have doctors on hand and nurses and medical personnel.
Yeah, just in case, yeah.
Just in case one of those guys get hurt and to constantly be testing. So is it a bad look optically to have – resources being given away for competitive events for millions of dollars for entertainment when, you know, people are going to be fighting for their lives apparently in England like they are the rest of the world. Tough decision.
Yeah, it's necessarily not a good look because you will get those people, but they're like, what are you doing? Like, you could be doing this, you could be doing this. Like, instead of using the money to put on the tournament, you could have donated to this. Like, it's just, you get all those kind of people nitpicking it and attacking it.
Well, that's what Mark Cuban was saying today about the NBA. He's like, look, I know people use my quote of hoping we'd be the under of June as me, like, reporting news. He's like, I was just saying what I thought, but I am not speaking for the league. And was basically like, we have to hope in 90, you know, 30, 60, 90 days is how he said it, that we have accessible tests for everyone. Because you can't waste tests on NBA players for them to go play while other people are waiting to be tested. So, like, we have to get all of that in line so that we can keep these players tested to see how they are feeling, to see if they are sick, as we hopefully put them in a bubble to play sports. But we still have to have tests on hand, and we just can't take away that from people right now. He said, hopefully 30, 60, 90 days. We've made far advancements both in controlling the virus but also with supplies. You know, Ford yesterday, I believe, said they hope to have 50,000 ventilators made ASAP. Test kits becoming more and more, you know, available in terms of especially their turnaround, right? Like, no longer are you supposed to be waiting 7 days. There apparently are some that you can get out within a day, within 15 minutes even. I don't know about the accuracy of those. I'm not a doctor, but we are making advancements for that.
You would hope if they've released them that the accuracy is on par with the other tests at least. It's great that they're getting the faster stuff out because it just, I think, I don't know if speed this process up is the right term, but you finally start getting, you know, more people the help they need.
Wimbledon was set to run June 29th. So pulling the plug fairly early. I mean, we'll call it 3 months, right? I mean, it's 2 months and 29 days. We'll just call it 3 months. I get that there's some logistical things you have to put in place and planning. But it seems a little surprising that they wouldn't ride this out. Like, I don't know the need. Again, maybe there's something logistically I'm unaware of, but I don't see the need to cancel this so far in advance.
Yeah, that's my thing. It just seems a little early, in my opinion. But, yeah, I think that kind of shows us where the projections are headed almost, like the fact that people are canceling this far out.
And apparently the people involved with tennis, Dirk Hordorf, the German Tennis Federation vice president, you know, he's talking about the French Open. People are mad at the French Open. Just like, hey, you guys need to go ahead and start making plans as well to do this.
Yeah, it's...
They stunned the tennis world by unilaterally postponing the clay court Grand Slam from May until late September because of the pandemic. So I guess people are mad that they're basically like, hey, we're going to try to get this done in September, They came under heavy fire from tennis players around the world at the lack of communication as the new dates clashed with several other events already featuring on the calendar. So I guess people were already scheduled to be certain places, and they just went ahead and said, we're moving to September without really asking anybody.
Huh, yeah.
Which I could really go for. I mean, to be honest, if we can get this going and playing in late September and we still have the NBA and the NFL and college football, late September will be a great time.
Yeah.
The French Open's one of those that play different times, right? So I mean we might even get that early in the morning to take us just through sports the entire day. Like that could be good.
That would be a fun month.
The men's ATP tour and the WTA require their players to participate at the 4 Grand Slam championships. So apparently you have to be there. So these other events that are scheduled are just kind of going to get, big fish, small pond, big bank, little bank, that whole thing. Like, they're going to get swallowed up. Mm. Now they're saying that they believe that the French Open will not be relocated as intended. They will be deprived of the points, and they will degenerate into a chaos event, he said. So they're mad at the French Open. So we'll see. That's your Corona update so far. Wimbledon falls victim. No big surprise. They had talked about that on Monday, but now it's official. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Drink what you truly want with light and refresh.
This might have led, this quarantine, this house arrest, this social distancing might have led to the easiest punishment for driving while intoxicated for John Jones. He's on 1 year of supervised probation, and as a part of his plea deal, he will serve 96 hours under house arrest.
Oh no!
Basically, he's going to have to wear an ankle monitor for 96 hours to show that he doesn't leave his residence unless he has permission. So, the easiest punishment that I've seen.
Yeah, he's basically just being all of us but wearing an ankle monitor.
Now, the ankle monitor probably would lead to some discomfort.
Yeah.
I would imagine I wouldn't like wearing an ankle monitor, but you'd probably get used to it. But I don't know if that judge has a sense of humor or what. But, 96 hours of house arrest seems not that bad.
Yeah, at least, like you said, right now in today's climate, absolutely not. That's best case scenario for him, probably.
He had tweeted 10 days ago, first time in history we can save the human race by laying in front of the TV and doing nothing. Let's not screw this up.
Well, there he is now doing his good for society unwillingly.
He should have been staying in the house and he wouldn't have found himself in trouble, but either way. It does, where are you at in terms of wanting to get out? How are you feeling? Are you restless? Because I've seen a lot of people get restless and a lot of people are saying, this is tough for people mentally. Like, this really is. It's tough for me physically because I haven't left to go do any, I can't go to the gym. I don't like running outside. It's bad for my knees, me being a heavy guy. I don't like running. I like to go into the gym to go on the elliptical, less resistance or less pressure on the knees. So it's been bad for me physically. I'm probably going to come out of this the heaviest I've ever been in my life. Maybe. I don't know. So physically, it's taking a toll on me. Mentally, though, I'm cool. I'm Gucci. I'm good. Nothing bothering me. I know for some people, though, they're getting really hit with the cabin fever, wanting to get out, wanting to go to the bars, wanting to go to a restaurant, wanting to do something like that. Where are you at, Cam, in terms of your stay home-edness meter?
I'm good personally. Mentally, I'm fine with it. I can adapt. I would like to go out because Tuesdays are my trivia night. So every time I get to a Tuesday, I'm just and I get kind of sad again because man, I gotta sit here and not do anything. But
yeah. By the way, I feel like those trivia companies really, really dropped the ball in terms of, they could do some live streaming.
Yeah.
Not to give away, free million-dollar ideas to these trivia companies. Probably not million-dollar ideas, but, some goodwill.
No, they definitely could have done something, yeah.
Open up, a tip jar. People would probably tip the trivia people, you could, you know, just pony up and, you know, come together for like a cash prize or like a gift card to somewhere. Like, that's a chance for some goodwill for their partners to like kind of keep going on with this trivia.
Yeah.
In my opinion, they kind of dropped the ball there because people at home on the internet would probably like a Zoom. How many people can fit in these Zooms, by the way? I haven't tried the Zoom yet. Have you?
I haven't either, but since they do it for school, I assume pretty decent amount.
Probably only 20. I don't know. Like, school could be like 20, yeah. 10, 15 people. I don't know. You could do it in sections. I don't know. Maybe you could have a lot of people, maybe not on camera, but watching the Zoom and then, you know, could chat in.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure how it works, but.
You could do some type of trivia.
Absolutely.
That would have served a need. I'm cool, though. I like staying at home. I've used this time to really just mow through. Like I said, I've been knocking out movies that I need to watch left and right,
yeah.
Catching up. But I know some people are really struggling with the idea of, like, they need to get about with a routine. People need to get to work, things like that. It is tough. It is, you know, weighing on people mentally. I was curious where you were on that.
I'm fine, but I think it helps us, too, that we come in here.
Yeah,
I
no,
that helps.
That's 100% true. That's 100% accurate. I do look forward to these moments where we come in the studio and at least get out of the house and can get some type of personal interaction.
Yeah, I think this definitely helps because it makes it seem almost more normal for us.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
my day
cool.
Hasn't changed too much. Like, wake up, watch some TV, come to the show, go home, watch some TV. Like I said, sometimes I would go to the gym. Sometimes I would go out to eat. Sometimes I would go to the bar, do something like that. But, you know, just the whole no sports thing.
Yeah, that's the worst part for me, too.
And I will say, like, not being able to – I haven't gone home to see, like, my family. So that's been kind of tough. That's been my biggest adjustment is not being able to go home.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are in that situation too where they don't want to risk it or anything like that. So, yeah, everybody's kind of staying put to where they are unless you already, like, you know, the college kids went home when they got sent home. But besides that, yeah, everybody's kind of sent and put.
I do wonder how it is for the college-age students, though.
Yeah.
I mean, like, as you saw with a lot of them, like, they still went on spring break, so.
Yeah.
They're still trying to live a little bit, I guess, but, you know.
I still pass a few in the fort when I'm going back home and stuff.
Yeah, but I'd imagine, like, the pool days are canceled.
Yeah.
The summer pool days, like, at your apartment complex, I was thinking about that, probably canceled, right?
I saw some people at the pool this past weekend.
Really?
Yeah, but what a lot of the pools around here did was they took all, like, the chairs and stuff.
So you just have to stand?
So, like, you gotta, like, bring your own towel or chair or something. So it's discouraging most people. But you'll still get those some people that went out and, you know, I saw some, like, Snapchat stories and stuff of people at the pool. So, yeah, not everybody's sitting at home completely, so.
It's gotten to the point where people are, like I said, struggling. It's gotten to the point where people are ready to get out, to the point where people are ready to get back to work. It's tough. Then you have the other side that wants the people to be responsible socially. And it happened in the NFL with a unlikely person. He went to town on the NFL. I'll tell you what he said after the break and who it was. I was surprised to see this. Ooh. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. A little bit of breaking news. We have Dolly Parton stepping up, donating $1 million to Vanderbilt towards the research towards finding a cure for the coronavirus. She tweeted out, my longtime friend, Dr. Najee Abumrad, who's been involved in research at Vanderbilt for many years, informed me that they were making some exciting advancements towards research of the coronavirus for a cure. I am making a $1 million donation to Vanderbilt towards that research. And to encourage people that can afford it to make donations. So, Dolly trying to help Vanderbilt, try to help them find a cure for the Rona. I said that a surprising name took some shots at the Shield. Adam Schefter was no holds barred last night on Scott Van Pelt.
Oh.
As he talked about how crazy it is that the NFL is trying to pretend like everything is fine, like, they're trying to do the draft to stay on track. But he's like, look, guys, there's not going to be any OTAs. There's not going to be any off-season camps. Like, you got to need to go ahead and accept that and says that the draft is only happening on time, as he puts it, quote, only through the sheer force and determination and ... He waited like 4 seconds and said, lack of foresight from the NFL. They are determined to put this on, quote, while there is carnage in the street. Basically, like, people are dying, carnage in the street. Yeah, I haven't seen anything actually in the streets. I haven't seen any anybody dying out in the streets. But, like, you know, it's just a form of expression. You had that. You've had some people try to, like, go outside hospitals to be like, oh, everyone keeps saying it's a war zone at the hospital. Look, no one's even out here. And you're like, bro, it's a hospital. People are inside.
Yeah, that's where the magic happens.
Yeah, like, the parking lot probably isn't going to be a war zone. And it's also been really frustrating seeing people downplay hospitals and what they're going through by saying, well, I know someone who works at this hospital and nothing's happening at all. Okay, there's other hospitals
Congrats.
In the world.
Yeah.
There's other hospitals in the world. I walked outside and no one got murdered in my backyard, so murder must not exist. No, people get killed. People get murdered. Just because you don't see it, just because it doesn't affect you, you haven't been murdered, doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. But I was surprised to see Adam Schefter say that. And last week, the NFL said, look, the draft is going on business as usual, and put out the warning to teams. Like, hey, don't talk bad about this. Nothing good comes from you speaking out against this. There will be punishment. So no teams have been able to come out and say this is a bad idea. But Adam Schefter, which I don't know where you rank him at, Cam, but I think of him in the top 20 in terms of faces of the NFL. And really, when I think of the NFL, he's probably, you know, outside of my favorite team and just being biased of my favorite team. Adam Schefter, where does he rank in terms of stars of the NFL? Because for me, he'd be top 10 or 15 when I just think of the NFL and think of people that represent the NFL. He's high on my list.
No, I agree. Like, if I'm ever in the situation where, like, oh, I need to see if, like, something happened in the NFL, I always go to his Twitter page.
Right.
Like, he's the guy you go to for the information.
He's been the, you know, the face of NFL Network for a while, and then he moved to ESPN, and he's, like, the newsbreaker. Like, I mean, sure, Jay Glazer and Rappaport come out a couple of times, but especially in Rappaport's case, he's usually, you know, 10, 15, 20 seconds behind Adam Schefter in terms of breaking news. So, I think of him in the top 10, top 15 in terms of recognizable faces and people when I think about the NFL, and in large part because some of the stars are retired, but and some of the stars are nameless and so interchangeable. But still, Adam Schefter, one way or the other, is kind of one of the faces of the NFL, in my opinion. And here he is just taking the shield to task.
And it's not like the NFL can fine him.
Yeah, they can't do anything to him. Like, you know, Goodell, I guess, could theoretically. I mean, on one hand, yes. On one hand, no. I don't know if you're familiar with Bill Simmons' story. Cam, you know Bill Simmons at all?
Yeah, I know Bill Simmons.
You familiar, like, you know, him leaving ESPN? Like, he pretty much left ESPN because he wouldn't shut up about the NFL. And, like, he just kept taking Roger Goodell to task and was just, you know, whining and complaining and, you know, whistleblowing. Whatever you want to say, was basically like, Goodell's full of bleep. Goodell is a hypocrite. Goodell is the worst commissioner in sports. Mm-hmm. And then eventually ESPN's like, stop it. Bill Simmons is like, no. And Bill Simmons ended up getting fired from ESPN. So he can't find Schefter, but I wonder what Goodell will say if Schefter makes this admission to talk about the NFL, quote, ignoring carnage in the street. That's a pretty damning statement. Like,
yeah, that's heavy. That's heavy.
The lack of foresight, I think you could get by with. But then you go on and say they're determined to put this on while there is, quote, carnage in the street. That is painting them as someone who is naive, someone who is dumb or lacking foresight, but also someone who just doesn't care. Like, it's one thing to call somebody dumb, in my opinion. It's one thing to say you're ignorant. And when I say dumb, I mean ignorant. Like, ignorant of the ramifications. Like, the NFL not thinking this through in terms of putting the draft on. It's another thing to say they see the carnage in the street and they're still doing this. Because that paints a picture. When I think of carnage in the street, I think of warfare. I think of riots. I think of, you know, just things that people should be aware of.
Yeah, you see, like, looting in the street,
right,
things like that, like cars on fire flipped over.
Right. Like, that's the image that kind of is painted whenever I hear carnage in the street. And like I said, this is one of the 10, 15 biggest faces of the NFL.
Yeah, no. He has influence.
Like, who, if we're ranking the faces of the NFL, who are you going with? Like, I think right now, is it Brady? Is Brady still number one? Just in terms of recognizable faces for people?
Yeah.
Importance to the league, all that stuff. Like, Brady is still number one. I would honestly say Belichick's probably in the top three as well. Rodgers.
Yeah.
If I'm power ranking them, it'd be like.
Mahomes probably up there now.
Yeah, I would still put Brady and Rodgers ahead of Mahomes in terms of just faces of the league. Like, if you're talking about who's a better player, obviously not. Like, Mahomes has passed both of those guys and has passed probably Belichick in terms of importance in the league. But, you know, those three guys are kind of the mainstay. Mahomes and Lamar, probably, and Russell Wilson. You know, all three of those guys come after that. Andy Reid probably deserves some credit. Jerry Jones, got to give Jerry Jones props.
Yep.
But outside of that, like, I don't know how many more players I would get to that would say, yeah, slam dunk. That guy makes
everybody would know him,
That guy comes to my mind before Adam Schefter. And I'm not even talking about the average fan recognizability or whatever, although that might be true, too, because, you know, helmets and stuff.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And I think that, like, even, like, the casual fringe NFL fans all know Adam Schefter.
Right, from watching the draft, from watching coverage. Recognizable face on, you know, and ESPN hasn't been a big partner with the NFL really since the Bill Simmons stuff. Like, some people say that, some people theorize that that is why the ESPN playoff game has always been so bad and why the Monday night football games have always been so bad, because the NFL is sticking it back to ESPN for all the negative coverage. And now here you have another guy. You know, we'll see how far Schefter goes when taking this to task. But I was surprised to see him do it.
Yeah, that is a little surprising. He's been tweeting out and retweeting a bunch of stuff about the virus, though. So you can tell he's kind of passionate about
trying to stop it.
Yeah, about this. So I guess he's finally was just like, hey, like the NFL's being a little absurd by doing this, but.
Well, are they, though? Because I don't know if I agree. Like, I mean,
draft, no. I think that's fine.
Like I said, it's a little tough. Although, like, you know, the same argument we have with Wimbledon, Cam, about doctors and stuff. Like, there are some doctors and stuff that are going to have to do physicals, I guess, on these players. But is that enough of a percentage to actually get mad about? Because I feel like the draft is, you know, you're not going to get hurt. It's one thing if they're playing games and you had nurses and, you know, someone's getting a concussion, someone's having a fatal injury, needs to go to the hospital. Like, that's one thing. And obviously that would be worst case scenario. But just having the draft where people are, well, you know, not even walking across stage, like, there's zero injury concern here.
Yeah, no, I think the draft is fine to do it the way they're doing it. Because, there's going to be very few interactions with people. They're already doing, like, the video interviews with players, so it's not like they're flying players out to do these interviews. They're just sitting down and, you know, over Skype, video chat, FaceTime, whatever, and interviewing the players there. So they're still getting to do the interview process. Yeah, no pro days is gonna probably hurt a few people, but also, everything else is fine. Like, it's gonna be so remote that I don't really see an issue with it, and I think it kind of just helps them in the long run when it gets closer to the season, or even getting back to normal, I wouldn't even say season, getting to kind of the off season. Once teams already have their draft picks and things like that, it kind of speeds up that process. If you had to, like, move it back, it'd be a whole other thing where you have to run through the draft late, try and squeeze in some off season. It just kind of speeds up the coming back part of this.
How do you think the players feel?
The
players that are set to be drafted, do you think they feel robbed of, like, a moment of walking across stage, or do you think they're like, hey, let's get this over with, I want to get on a team, I want to sign contracts, I want to get paid? Like,
I think it probably depends on, I'd say the average player, no, they just want to be, they know it's still going to be on TV, they're still going to get to spend it with their family or whoever small group they're with, so I think they'll be fine with that. I think it's going to hurt more of the either, like, small school guys or the fringe drafted guys that, like, you don't get that extra pro day and things like that to see them.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to get some of those, like, who maybe one of the best years for undrafted free agents.
Okay.
Maybe some of those missed guys you just barely miss on the draft and, you know, you don't have a ton of film on and they come in and produce.
Potentially. Yeah. Adam Schefter just came out and said, hey, NFL, what are you doing? I disagree. I think the draft is okay. Like, the free agency was huge. That was business as usual. That helped us a lot, kind of pretend like everything was normal for a little bit. I don't think that helped spread the virus anywhere. I don't think, you know, we were hurt by that. I think the draft going on as scheduled is okay.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's okay.
Yeah, they're not really putting too many people at risk by doing it this way. So, yeah, I think there's no problem with the draft.
I would listen to the idea of, we got a tweeter writing in. Burns asked, can we get an over-under on how many draft picks will contract the virus due to their draft parties? Well, that angle of it, admittedly, was not one I had considered. So I was going to make that joke about in terms of injuries. It was like, except like if Big Brother or your dad tackles you to the ground or girlfriend tackles you to the ground after you get drafted, maybe you could get injured. But I guess I should have taken it one more step and said, if we Skype into these people and they're having cookouts and barbecues with 40 people there to celebrate, because that is one of the big parts of the draft, right, in terms of being there with your family, having your crew there.
And, if you're going to invite your family, then you're going to get the fringe, like the outside your, immediate family. Going to be, I want to be a part of this, too.
Anyone trying get a jump start on getting in the circle, getting in the entourage is going to be there.
So you either have to, it's going to be kind of on the players if they're going to, put a limit on who comes through. Or if not, that's a possibility for sure.
That's a interesting angle. Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two with headlines. We'll tag team them. Stick with us to talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
My name is John Reed, and for years,